خوف خدا و عشق مصطفی، علم و عمل اصلاح معاشرہ، فقہ شریعت و طریقت کا ہے مجموع مدنی مذاکرہ،
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Saying of Mustafa صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم، the one who said اللهم صل على محمد وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك يوم القيامة، my intercession has become wajib for him. Everyone should memorize this Durood-e-Pak and it's recited every Thursday in our weekly Ijtima. Many people would have memorized it in this way too. Those who are regular in the Ijtima perhaps would have memorized it by now. So attend Ijtima every Thursday regularly. Or they would probably go but not memorize it. They wouldn't pay attention towards it. So it's a very beautiful Durood-e-Pak. We should memorize it. This Durood makes intercession wajib. If Allah Almighty accepts it, then inshaAllah we'll be successful. Just with the blessings of this one Durood. Please recite, Allahumma صل على محمد وأنزله المقعد المقرب عندك يوم القيامة. Blessings of Salat and Salam, published by Maktabatul Madina. It contains 21 pages. So this Durood is mentioned on its page number 7. So try to take a photocopy of it or somehow place it at such a place in your house where you often look at. So this way inshallah you will memorize it really quickly. Personally speaking, I adopt this method of memorizing things from time to time. I have practiced this various times. If I have to memorize any dua or any verse of the Holy Quran, I either write it with my own hand or get it composed or typed by someone and hang it or stick it somewhere. Looking at it would remind you to read it and you'll also memorize it. For instance, the saying of Mustafa that we normally recite that states about one attaining Laylatul Qadr. I have placed that too at a place in my house. Although I remember it, but one shall also remember to recite it. So often what happens is, it is at such a place that I normally look at it. So alhamdulillah, I then remember that I need to recite it 3 times. Du'as and Durood-e-Pak recited in the weekly Ijtima' of Dawat-e-Islami. This book is also available on the internet, on the website of Dawat-e-Islami. So inshallah, if you display this at an appropriate place in your house, you'll memorize it quickly. So whenever you want to memorize anything, make these kind of arrangements. So sticking anything on the wall has a risk of it being torn apart into pieces. Normally what I do is, I stick it on a cardboard and then hang it over. Or if I have to stick it at some place, then I do so at such a place where it's easy to remove it. For example, the kalima that I have displayed at home, I have done so on the frame of a cupboard as it is more feasible to do so, as its surface is more suitable for this, whether wooden or metal frame. So I've stuck on it with the sellotape. If needed, you can easily remove the sellotape and save it from being disrespected. advert posters displayed on the walls that contain the name of Allah and His Prophet, they at times scatter around into pieces. There's a lot of disrespect in this. You can also clean marble and stick it to it. But the problem in sticking is that when you take it off, it will tear apart. So if you apply sellotape on 4 or 5 corners of it, then you'll be able to remove it without disrespecting it whenever you need to take it off. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Viewers of Madani channel and those joining us via Obi-Wan from Qazi Ahmed, District Nawabshah, Pak Qadri Kabina and Jakswari, Kashmir, Pakistan, Pak Muhammadi Kabina, and the attendees of the Global Madani Markaz Faizan-e-Madina, whenever you attain the privilege of entering masjid, do make the intention of itikaf. Intention refers to the intention of heart. Make intention in your heart that I am in the state of itikaf. You've become mu'tikif. To utter it from your tongue whilst the intention is present in your heart is even better. You can even say it in your own mother tongue that I make the intention of sunnah itikaf. Remember, eating, drinking, sleeping, sahri iftar, drinking abe zamzam or water with dam will only be allowed in case one has made the intention of itikaf. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Tonight is the 8th night of the auspicious month of Abdul Qadir, i.e. Rabi'ul Akhir, 1437 Hijri. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
My name is Muhammad Mahmoud Raza Tari and I'm calling from Park Mozami. On Sunday, the 10th of January, in the Grand Mosque Sarkar-e-Madina in Bhavra Sharif district, our Bhavra Sharif Division Responsible Islamic Brother, Muhammad Akram Attari, he first recited the Holy Quran before the Azan of Salatul Isha. Then he recited Salatul Salam and then called for Salah. And again he recited Salatul Salam and then was blessed with the reading of Aqamat. And then offered Salah in congregation. After first Salah, he offered Sunnat Salah, then Nafil Salah, then Witr Salah. And after Witr, he was praying his last Nafil Salah. And while reading this last Nafil Salah, he died. Allahu Akbar. How fortunate was this Islamic brother, Muhammad Akram Qadri Attari, who was blessed to die in masjid just because of his association with Dawat-e-Islami Madani environment. May Allah bless us with such death. And may Allah this happen that whoever is listening to my voice will be blessed with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and will join the Madani movement of Dawat-e-Islami for the sake of spreading the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and start traveling in Madani Qafla of Dawat-e-Islami. Ameen. Jahin Nabiyul Ameen. Can we say one has died on Iman based on the fact that he was associated with a good environment? Please bless me with an answer. Jazakallahu khaira.
May Allah Almighty surround the deceased with His mercy and bless him with forgiveness without accountability. He passed away in a good environment. He is enviable. And we have the positive presumption about him that he would have passed away with Iman. The Shari'i ruling is that only a prophet can tell whether a person has passed away from this world with Iman, or an Ummati reveals it upon a prophet disclosing to him for our own sake. For example, if someone recites Kalima at the time of death, then we'll have a positive presumption that he passed away with Iman. Our words shall not be such that they mention for sure that one passed away with Iman. He's been blessed with paradise. People even claim paradise for the deceased. They do so based on Allah's mercy. They even do so for a non-salah offering person. We don't know whether he reached the mercy of Allah Almighty or the company of snakes and scorpions in the grave. We should supplicate and pray and have a positive presumption from Allah's mercy. Such phrases shall not be uttered. Scholars don't utter them. No matter how sinful a Muslim is, we can't say that he died on disbelief. If he is a Muslim, we would say that he would have passed away with Iman. We'll supplicate for his forgiveness. We'll do everything. We can't even say about the biggest of the virtuous persons that he passed away from this world with Iman. Because we don't know. We normally say marhum, i.e. the dead, So this is the concept amongst the general public regarding marhum. Whereas saying marhum is giving a dua. As in marhum means that he shall receive Allah's mercy. I.e. he receives the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it means. But we don't know whether he actually received Allah's mercy. It's a positive presumption. This is about common Muslims, not about the Nabi. Anbiya are anyhow in the mercy of Allah, as they received prophethood, and there is no decline to it. If someone has a belief that the prophethood can be taken away from a prophet, then he will become a disbeliever. Taking away of prophethood is impossible. This cannot happen. Not at all. Whomsoever Allah blessed with prophethood, he will never take it back from him. Sainthood can be taken away. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Muhammad Kaif Khan. I am calling from Patiala Nagar, Oceania. Can we call children angels?
Angel. People call children as angel. We cannot refer this to be a kufr, as there is no disrespect of angel found in this. There are different states when a human being is referred to as an angel. In fact, at times, humans surpass angels in rank, because angels do not have nafs. They just worship, they don't commit sins, they haven't got nafs. And the human has been given nafs. So if a person refrains from sins whilst controlling his nafs, then he performs an extremely honorable deed. So these kind of virtuous and righteous people who act upon these practices are superior to angels, superior to the normal angels. Otherwise, they are also Rasul angels, like the four famous angels, Hazrat Sayyiduna Jibra'il, Mika'il, Israfil, and Izra'il. Alayhimus Salam. These are Rasul, Rasul of angels. So it is stated in the books along the lines that angels have intellect, but do not have lust or desire. And animals do not have intellect, but carnal desires. And human contains both intellect and desire. So if a human follows his carnal desires, then he becomes worse than the animals. As the animal does not possess intellect, only desire. So it follows its desires. It keeps eating all the time. It does whatever it wants to, as it doesn't possess any intellect. So if a human starts acting like animals and keeps eating all the time and does whatever he likes, as a lot of people are doing, the number of people who are doing whatever they like to, so such person becomes worse than animals, as he didn't make the right use of his intellect. And because the angel does have intellect, but doesn't have desire, so the one who killed his carnal desires, these rewards are in fact only for those who are Muslims. And a non-believer is senseless in this context anyways, as the one who couldn't comprehend Islam, Allah Almighty, and his final prophet. Then what's the use of such intellect? Is it clear? Alhamdulillah, Muslim has intellect, as he believes in Allah and his prophet. He believes in Islam. He believes in the glorious and holy Quran. So alhamdulillah, a Muslim's intellect is of the highest level with Allah's mercy. The one who controlled his desires using his intellect, he killed his nafs. He set himself free from the traps of shaitan. He became such a righteous and pious person. Now he became superior than the angels, as angels only have intellect and humans have both intellect and desire. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Azza wa jalla wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
It is requested in the court of Amir al-Sunnah that is reigning in Global Madani Markaz, Faizan-e-Madina.
Oh yeah, I just saw it now and realized it. Allah, that's why everyone has come inside. So it is something really good in the context that everyone has come in the Aine Masjid and there's more reward in it. So they've come because of the rain. We normally recite a salat during the rain, but it shall not be named as the salat of rain, because people will follow what we will say. We don't find any such narration. It is a part of Durood-e Akbar that we will read now. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina
ومولانا محمد بعدد قطرات الأمطار.
It means, O Allah, our Master Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, send blessings upon him to the number of the raindrops. So it's not only specific to when it rains, huh? You can read it anytime. It's just a salawat. Rather, there's another part in it that Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin bi'adadi awraqil ashjar, i.e. send blessings to the number of the leaves and to the number of the sand particles. These are the parts of Durud-e Akbar. So one's supplication is also accepted when it is raining. There is a dua when it rains too. Let's read that as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Another dua. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Now would you please tell us that we know this is haram to ask from jinn about which is hidden, and to believe in it is kufr. And we learned from you that jinn has no knowledge of what is hidden. Then how jinn tells about unseen?
Asking them about future is haram, and if one believes that jinns have the knowledge of unseen, then he'll become a disbeliever. Because the Holy Quran denies this fact. There is evidence for the fact that jinns do not possess the knowledge of unseen.
It happened in the era of Sayyiduna Sulaiman alayhi salam that when Baitul Muqaddas was under construction, and its construction was started in the era of Hazrat Sayyiduna Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, with the order of Sayyiduna Sulaiman alayhi salam, jinn was doing the construction of Baitul Muqaddas. In the meanwhile, its time of death arrived. Then Hazrat Sayyiduna Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam used his stick and stood in the arch of Baitul Muqaddas, and he stood there for 1 year. Stood using a stick. Then with the order of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, termite started eating that stick. And that's how the blessed body of Hazrat Sayyiduna Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam came on floor. And that time jinn came to know that Hazrat Sayyiduna Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam has actually passed away, and it was a time frame of 1 year. So first of all, that proves the faith of Ahl-e-Sunnah wal-Jamaat that all the prophets are alive and soil cannot eat their bodies. Nothing happens to their bodies even after their apparent death. Secondly, from this we come to know, and Quran also mentions this incident and states that
فَلَمَّا خَرَّ تَبَيَّنَتِ الْجِنُّ أَلَّوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الْغَيْبَ مَا لَبِثُوا فِي الْعَذَابِ الْمُهِينَ.
And when Sulaiman a.s. came to the ground, the truth about the jinn was exposed. If they had known the hidden, they would not have remained in the disgraceful toil, i.e. they were working. If jinn would know that Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam had passed away, then they would have stopped working a year ago. But due to the fear of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, they kept doing their construction work for the whole year. If they ever had the knowledge of unseen, then they would never bear this hardship.
Now this is the decision of the Holy Quran, the true book of Allah Almighty. And to say that these are made up things of random scholars, then this fact is not made up by random scholars. It is command of the Holy Quran that jinns do not possess the knowledge of unseen. Now the fact that at times they mentioned a thing which has happened in the past, like this happened to you 10 years ago, or 25 years ago this happened to you. As a matter of fact, what actually happens is that when a child is born, then a shaitan and an angel are also born along with him. So shaitan is called the Hamzad, who keeps misleading him. So the Hamzad knows the incidents that took place in the childhood, incidents of the youth. Everything happens in front of him. So he remembers them. So at times, there are some evil people who use these shaitan and do these kind of things. So this is how at times they are able to tell what has happened in the past. Everyone's not evil. Only those who are evil and use shaitan for their evil intentions. They have the impure knowledge of black magic. I'm talking about those who do this. So they ask these facts to those shaitans who have friendship with the Hamzad of that person. So he tells it after inquiring from him. Like we have friends. Some have more fame and some have less. Some have more friends and some have less friends. Same is the case with them. So he inquires from that Hamzad and reveals that the other person had typhoid in his youth. He fell off the stairs when he was young or injured himself whilst playing sports and had so many stitches, etc. So people start thinking that he has given the news of unseen and think that person has a very high status. Indeed, he does have a very high status, but in the hellfire, as he's adopting satanic tactics, he is destroying the iman of Muslims. So a Muslim has faith on the Quran, not on such evil people. We believe in Quran, alhamdulillah, on every single word of Quran. O the holy book of Allah, if you have announced that the jinns do not possess the knowledge of unseen, then we believe in this, no matter what. We don't need any such intellect or evidence that would prove the knowledge of unseen of jinns. We believe in the Holy Quran. We are those who believe, not the ones who question. This is the belief of all the Muslims. It's not only my belief on the Quran. It's not because a bearded person like me is saying this. It is because the Holy Book of Allah is saying this. It says jinns don't have the knowledge of unseen, so they don't. Now no matter, they make some predictions of future. Some predictions also become true. As in this will happen, that will happen. So they say these kind of things and some also become true. So people think that he is given the news of unseen. These are their flukes. So at times it happens and at times it doesn't. Let's say the jinn told you 100 things of future. That this will happen, that will happen. And all of the predictions become 100% true. Still, I will not accept the fact that jinns have the knowledge of unseen. Because my Holy Quran is saying that jinns don't have the knowledge of unseen. I will just say that they were all predictions, which coincidentally all became true.
Bapa, this kind of predictions are also made by people like politicians. And they talk about what's going to happen in future. And at the time, their guess proves out to be true. And if it's not true, then like evil people, they all of a sudden change their statement and say, oh, we didn't mean that. They give random various reasons to cover themselves. But actually, those reasons don't make any sense. Now you can get the information about next year, that what will happen in the coming year.
Like it will rain, it will get really, really cold, it will get extremely hot. You do get these kind of news. I sometimes think that now nothing is going to happen because he said it. This also happens, that nothing ends up happening. Anyhow, at times, Allah's chosen people also revealed some news. That's something different. Chosen people of Allah do reveal the news of unseen with the bestowal of Allah through the means of His beloved Habib. As a prophet receives it from Allah Almighty, and a wali receives it through the blessings of the prophet. Awliya are of different types. Some receive less and some receive more. Some of them don't receive anything and some become aware of very few things. So they have different ranks. It's upon the will of Allah. In real fact, the entire universe is controlled by Allah. It's up to Him now that how much knowledge does He want to bestow a certain person with. So if the chosen people of Allah Almighty make any predictions, then do not consider them to be like those evil people or any other random people. Awliya of Allah have completely different system. That's absolutely perfect. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu wa rasuluhu a'lam. عز وجل وصلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد saying of Mustafa صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. One who recites لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم 3 times, then it is as though as if he has attained شبه قدر. Let's recite it together. La ilaha illallah. Al-Halimul Kareem. Subhanallah. Rabbis Samawati. As-Sab'i.
ورب العرش العظيم. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم. صلوا على الحبيب. حضرت سيدنا عبداللہ بن عمر بن عاص رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ states, one reciting this dua before leaving a gathering, his sins will be forgiven. And the one reciting in a righteous gathering and a gathering of zikr, then goodness for him will be stamped upon. Let's recite it together. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
خوف خدا ہو عشق مصطفیٰ علم و عمل اصلاح معاشرہ فقہ شریعت و طریقت کا ہے مجموعہ مدنی مذاکرہ